Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, February 11th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 36, and we're reading and commenting on paragraph 3. Which begins with, thus started one more journey. Today's readers are Eileen M. for the 12 Steps, Liz T. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie M., Jody E., Mary B. will greet our newcomers after the recording ends, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your service. The reference number for this morning's, for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, for February 10th is 16376. That's 16,376. The reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for February 11th is 16383. That's 16,383. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Eileen M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. And I will now ask Liz T. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi there, this is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota, and you can hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you very much, Liz T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 36. We're in paragraph 3, which I will ask Leslie M. to please begin reading. Thank you, Leslie.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Thus started one more journey to the asylum for Jim. Here was the threat of commitment, the loss of family and position, to say nothing of that intense mental and physical suffering which drinking always caused him. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that he could take whiskey if only he mixed it with milk. Yes, I am a recovered compulsive overeater, Leslie M., very grateful. And once again, in this paragraph, we see the italics. And what this takes me back to, it says he has much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic. This year I have been in, I will be in OA 31 years, and I'm just coming up on 3 years of entire abstinence and being recovered. But what happened to me at my last relapse was much like this. I used to do a lot of comparing with others, especially people in OA meetings. I would compare their food plan with my food plan, the way they did things with the way I did things, and continued to think that if they could do it, why can't I? And what happened to me is I was 7 weeks entirely abstinent, working on my fourth step. I went to a meeting. Somebody said something, got stuck in my head. And it was a morning meeting, came home, didn't eat lunch, didn't eat dinner. You know, I set myself up and I went out that night and I binged. The thing for me was, is that I saw, and the thing that I'm so grateful for, is I saw that, you know, that my step one experience was that I was not just powerless over my food, but I was also powerless over my thinking. And that my thinking was going to take me back to the food every single time if I didn't do something differently. And at that point, I got that total surrender that, okay, God, food is going to be in charge of the rest of my life if I don't do something different. And, you know, as they say, you know, work these steps like your hair is on fire. That's where I got to, through that point of desperation, through that seeing that it didn't matter where I went or what I did. You know, my self-knowledge was not going to help me where it came to the food. I needed a power greater than myself. And one of the things that I often repeated when I first restarted was, You know, this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. So without a power greater than myself, I didn't have a chance. You know, I was going to be in the food. You know, and I'm so grateful, as I've said, I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. It's changed my life entirely. And, you know, a lot of people talk about it being abstinent, but being happy about it. And I have never been happily abstinent before this time in my life. You know, and I know that, you know, those foolish ideas are going to come. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I always will be. But as long as I keep myself in fit spiritual condition, that, you know, my higher power will be the one that does the removal for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. Happily abstinent. Love that. Everyone is welcome to share, including newcomers. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share, press star 1 and please give me your name.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Ivy S. Leslie
Ivy
W.
S. Leslie W. Anybody else?
Ann B.
Okay. Well, let's get started with Donna B. Oops, I can't read what I wrote for the other name. Ivy S, that's it. Ivy. Sorry, Ivy. And Leslie W. and Ann B. So Donna B., you're up first, and then IVS will be right after you. And if you're not Donna B, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Donna B, spelled D-A-N-A, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic.
I'm sorry, Donna. Somehow we've lost you. Could you press star 1? To unmute again, please. Donna,
can
B?
You hear me now?
Yeah. I'm
yes.
Here.
Yes.
Okay. Please go ahead.
You heard me introduce myself?
Yes.
Before
yes.
I muted? Okay. So I was really moved by the opening share in combination with the reading and was reminded when I first became entirely abstinent, not only from my alcoholic food ingredients, but also from volume eating. There were many nights, many, many consecutive nights between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. that I would have the thought that I want to volume eat. And I would reach out. I would reach out on the OA Mothers WhatsApp platform. I would reach out to my individual fellows and I would just say, I want to volume eat. And at the time, there were a couple of women who said to me, you're not recovered. There's no way you've had a spiritual experience if you still have the desire to volume eat. And it was really painful to go through that process. I called those women the OA Tribunal. But I carried on. I continued to be entirely abstinent. I continued to work a spiritual program to the best of my ability. I continued to sponsor others. And despite being shamed outside of myself, I continue to put into the light and to reveal to others every single time the thought came up that I would like to volume eat. And over time, it did get better. It was less frequent. The duration was longer. It was less intense. But the truth is that even being entirely abstinent and even continuing to work a spiritual program to the best of my ability, doing 10 steps regularly, doing my nightly review, morning prayer, and working with others, I still have the thought on occasion that I would like to volume eat. And I still do the same thing. I put it in the light. I share it with others. And then it really is just a thought, a manifestation of my disease that I do not have to act on. And I share that with others so that they too have the freedom and the courage to know that it's okay. That first thought does not have to be a death sentence. It's an opportunity. It has been an opportunity for me to reach out to my fellows. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Makes me think of Dr. Bob, similar experience. Okay, Ivy S., you are up next, followed by Leslie W.
Hi,
Ivy.
Ivy, yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Ivy, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thank you for everybody's share so far. Gosh, this is such a good paragraph. I love how it says, journey thus started one more time, a journey to the asylum for Jim. And when I see that journey to the asylum, I think of the journey of to the asylum of my mind and just the insanity that goes on, you know, and then the pain and suffering from compulsively overeating and binging and purging, you know, like almost against my will, you know, just compelled to continue even as I'm suffering, you know, the intense mental suffering. And then later when it says all the drinking, all the reasons for not, you know, binging, easily pushed aside for the foolish idea, you know, it just reminds me of the insanity for me to take a bite, you know, like a normal person may be able to do that casually. And for me, it's just so insane. And then just surrendering to my true condition, you know, that is insanity for me. The foolish idea is insanity for me. And rather instead to remember who I really am, surrendering to that, to my true condition, you know, and conversely, if I'm not in the middle of the pack, if I'm not working a program, that idea just returns. It's available to me, you know. I am powerless against that idea if I'm not working a program, you know, or that it can come back and like was shared, but I don't have to act on it. So for me, I just, you know, I just try to do it one day at a time, just, you know, one day at a time, working my program to the best of my ability. And I feel safe and protected, and I don't have to go down that road again. So really grateful for this meeting and the recovery that I hear. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ivy S. Leslie W., you're up next, followed by Ann B. Please go ahead, Leslie.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. I remember after the birth of my second child, I had been in OA, I guess, for maybe, 3 or 4 years at that point. I was abstinent at the time, but I had drifted away from my step work and was in the fog of, you know, new baby, no sleep. Yeah, it's very dangerous, the places that my head can go when I'm in isolation. Isolation is really the canvas that my disease uses to paint all kinds of crazy crap in my head. And it's you know, I got this idea that I was going to join Medifast and you know, so I started going to these Medifast meetings and, you know, it was ridiculous. Like, here I was trying to eat their food that they gave me, and, of course, it had artificial sweeteners in it. And you know, it kept triggering me. It kept triggering the allergy. I was not recovered. I was not peaceful around food or the weight or the scale, you know, none of that. Like, I just remember the craziness of that. And it's only in looking back that I can see it. Because when you're in it, it makes perfect sense to you. It's like, oh, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. No, it doesn't. And so for me today, accountability, like making sure that I am doing these daily disciplines and that I'm talking to my sponsor every day, that I'm, you know, weighing and measuring my food, like there's certain safeties in place for me today. There's guardrails that weren't there before. And it's taken me a long time to figure out how to do that. You know, God brought me into an understanding and awareness. And so today I know who I am. I know what I got to do to stay abstinent and sane. And I do it no matter what's going on around me. I do those things each and every day. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity to share and be with all of you. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie W. After we hear from Ann B., who is up next, we'll take another lineup of people who'd like to share on page 36, paragraph 3, which begins with, "Thus started one more journey." Please go ahead, Ann B. And if you're not Ann B., would you please mute your phone? We'll take a lineup after Ann B. shares. Thank you so much. Please go ahead, Ann.
Hi, I'm Ann B. I'm in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And I always have a fondness for chapter 3 because it was the thing I most related to when I first read the big book. And I particularly like the story of the man who drank the whiskey with the milk because it shows the microcosm of the disease and so clearly. You know, he stuffs down his resentment. He thinks he can handle it himself without God's help, and it comes back as the out of his subconscious as the insanely trivial excuse. And that mechanism was something that I didn't understand myself. And I remember this. I always have my classic example of the insanely trivial excuse in it. I was in the drugstore and I picked up a bag of trigger food off the rack and I was going to buy it. And there was this insane conversation going on in my head. You know, and you don't like this stuff. Why are you buying it? You know, and then this other insane voice, "Oh, maybe this time it will taste different." And so I buy it, I eat one, it tastes terrible. And "Anne, why are you eating this? It tastes terrible. Maybe the next one will taste better." And no. And so the next one doesn't taste better. "Anne, why are you eating this? Oh, maybe I better eat the whole bag before somebody takes it away from me." That's the kind of insane little conversation that was going on inside my head before I work program, and that's the kind of conversation that does not go on now. You know, and I remember when I was first diagnosed with cancer, and I had told myself, "Oh, if I ever get cancer, I'm going to binge." And I walked by a picture window of a bakery, and this invisible hand grabbed my face and turned it away and said, "You can't have that. It's poison." And even though the insanely trivial excuse was trying to assert itself, somehow my higher power, because I was in fit spiritual condition, made it so I couldn't even look in the window. It was physically impossible for me to look in the window and look at the baked goods. And that was recovery. It was the elimination of that insane conversation in my head. And I think I do still have little hints of it, you know, but it's much muted. And so I, as I said, this chapter and the insanity of the thinking, you know, so many times I told myself I was going to stop eating those trigger foods. And so many times I found myself eating it again. And so many times telling myself, "Why am I doing this? I said I wasn't going to." So,
gentle reminder.
Thank you. So, and just that mechanism that's illustrated in this story really explains it. So I will pass.
Thank you very much, Ann B. And everybody's welcome to share, including newcomers. But we do ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, you're welcome to press star one to unmute and get in the lineup.
Liz,
Noelle,
can you see?
Yeah. Ooh, I have Liz T and Noelle came through, but that's all I got.
Bruce in Florida.
Bob H.
Bruce Roger
D.
from
Bob
Los Angeles.
H. Bruce, Bob, and Roger. Wow, three guys in a row. Okay, didn't get your last initial, so you can let me know when you come up. Was there anybody else who wanted to share?
Donna L.
Michael
Donna
M.
L. Michael M. And maybe I can take one more, but I think that'll do us.
Donna L.
I got Donna L. Okay, let me tell you what I got. I've got Liz T, Noel, Bruce E, Bob, Roger, Donna L, and Michael. Let's go with that and see how we do, all right? And sorry I didn't get your last initials. Please share them when you come on the line. So if you are not Liz T, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Liz T, please share with us. Star 1 to unmute, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz T., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. So the bottom line there on 36, yet all reasons for not eating compulsively were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that I could take my binge foods if only mixed in with milk. And my story of that was that I was making stir fry, and I thought I could just, you know, sauces were kind of my kind of mysterious, you know, yellow light list of foods, you could say, early on. Maybe I was, I don't know, a couple years into OA. And I thought, well, if I put my teriyaki sauce in this big, you know, pan of vegetables, it'll be diluted, right? It won't really matter. So there was my mental twist, my twisted thinking, my alcoholic mind. And, of course, I wouldn't want to tell anyone about that. You know, I would want to keep that a secret. So the dishonesty, too, just kind of fed on that. And it grew into a still worse relapse down the road. You know, I don't remember how many days or weeks it took. But I know that eventually that twist of the mind led to a still worse relapse. And I think by that point I had knowledge about myself that it talks about here. You know, on page 35, they talked about that they told him what they knew about alcoholism. So the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. I think at some point, a couple of years into program, I knew about that. But I don't think it was taught to me, or I don't think I had studied it like I do now in the big book with other recovered compulsive overeater fellows and stay steeped in this information on a daily basis. I clearly was not in a right spiritual condition with my higher power, or I wouldn't still want to be trying to get away with things and thinking I was being sneaky and that I could outsmart the disease. I mean, it's like trying to get into the wrestling, you know, match with a gorilla and think I'm going to win. You know, I need a higher power much bigger than that gorilla of my disease. And that's what I have today with the higher power and staying tethered to the steps 10, 11, and 12, realizing when I have a disturbance, I need to inventory that. That's the stuff that I will otherwise either try to stuff down or it will pile up and then it becomes a bigger explosion later and then I have more wreckage to clean up. So when it's a small disturbance, it's okay to call somebody. It's okay to inventory it. It's okay to see my part, even if it seems silly or rudimentary. It all ends up coming back to me. It all begins with me, you know, and let it begin with me. Let what I want to see in the world, let it start with me. And
gentle
so
reminder.
That's what I'm getting out of this paragraph today. Thanks so much for allowing me to share. Pat.
Thank you very much, Liz T. Noel, if we could have the first initial of your last name before you share and where you're calling from, that'd be great. You'll be followed by Bruce E. Please go ahead, Noel.
Hi, it's Noel E. From Louisiana, gratefully recovered, not cured. And thank you, everybody, for your service on this line. It's so important to me. I'm just so grateful. And I love this paragraph, particularly the part in italics, because it, I don't know, it was just made very clear to me by the fellows around me, which I'm so grateful for, that spiritual awakening or not, those things are going to happen. Those thoughts are going to happen. I'm powerless. It's just a reminder of another thing I can't control. I can't control this disease and the way it comes into my mind. A close example, or very recent example, was I'm going to a theme park with my nephew in March, and it's a theme park where they sell this like one very particular well-known drink. And you know, I thought for a second, I was like, you know, if I'm in the right place and program, maybe I can have this drink with them. And it's like a very sugary drink. And then and the next moment later, I was like, yeah, that's insanity. You know, that's my disease lying to me. But it still happened. I mean, it's going to happen. It occurred just the other day. And what I've come to realize is that thought can come into my head like a bird, but it doesn't have to make a nest. And while I was listening to everybody share on this topic, I thought that. I was like, that, you know, this thought can come into my head like a bird, but it doesn't have to make a nest. And my higher power comes to me in the form of great blue herons. He sends them to me all the time, particularly over the water. And right across the golf course where I'm walking right now, guys, a blue heron landed and has been looking at me ever since. So God is so good. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. What a sight. That's awesome. Okay, Brucey, you're up next, followed by Bob. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Well, thank you very much. This is Brucey. I'm recovered in Florida. And I really relate to Jim's story, the whole thing, not only this paragraph, but the whole thing. But to say nothing that intense mental and physical suffering, which drinking always caused him, he had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic. So, well, I've always had a lot of knowledge about myself and studied all this stuff. I got a bunch of books on the shelf at home and stuff about it. But never, none of it ever got me recovered. So I'm 32 years in OA, and I'll be recovered 1 year this next March. Next month I'll have a year of being recovered. So I'm a fast learner. I'm a fast forgetter, slow learner. And I had to go through a lot of these situations like Jim here and appreciate this mental and physical suffering that it always brought me. So I'm out of town about 2 years ago or so, and I was recovered at that time too, and hadn't been recovered too long. And so something happened, got me really upset, and all of a sudden that big tub of macaroni and cheese looked really good. And kind of like putting the whiskey in the milk, I thought, well, usually I used to binge on big, huge plates of it. I can just go with just maybe a half a plate of that and part of a plate of something else. And it's all alcoholic foods. Not on my food plan, obviously. I broke my abstinence right there. So with the foolish idea that I could take that as a result of that, whatever it was that made me really upset. So I couldn't do a 10th step at the time because I didn't have the ability, because I was in a place where I couldn't. But I must not have been spiritually well to all of a sudden do that. That mental blank spot, that mental twist that I had that just got me right back into it. And then the intense physical, mental and physical suffering. The thing that I get right away is I start losing my serenity. And then right after that comes in the guilt and then the shame. And then I'm devastated. You know, I'm just wasted. You know, and the only thing,
gentle
the
reminder.
Only answer, thank you. The only answer is to put the food down, get back in the program, call my sponsor, which I did. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Bob, you're up next. Please let us know the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, and then you'll be followed by Roger.
Thanks. I think you called my name. This is Rob H.
Yes, Rob. Sorry about that.
That's okay. From upstate New York. Yeah, I just wanted to share on this. I haven't shared in a while, but I guess I relate to this a little bit because, well, for one thing, in the place that I work, they don't call it an asylum, but it's a place where people go for, mental health treatment and stuff. But, I looked up the word asylum, and it's, refuge and, any secure retreat, haven, shelter, and I'm just thinking, like, I remember times in my life where I felt like there wasn't any place to go. But that's when I isolated, that's what I was doing, I needed a safe place to get away from, whatever it was. And I think I tried to find refuge in the food as well, like maybe that made me feel safe or something. And, I just thought about that when we were reading because when I read the sentence, it's like, oh, well, that's me. 2 o'clock today, I'm going to be starting my journey over to the place. But the threat of commitment, the loss of family and position, and the intense mental and physical suffering. I don't have any specifics on that as far as where the food comes in, but I have felt those things, I have felt like that. Like I remember in college, I ended up seeing a therapist. This is the first time I ever saw a therapist, and it was very helpful. But at the end of that time, because in school they only give you so many sessions, at the end of that time I'm like, well, what the hell do I do? What do I do now? And I didn't know about 12-step programs at that time. So I'm lucky, that I did find these programs, and I'm lucky that I found this meeting and others. But I remember I actually tried to go to a hospital, and I almost signed myself in, and one of the people that did the intakes said, you don't want to do that. I said, okay, and that was it. So maybe that was a higher power, just telling me something about myself or about going into a place. But obviously the therapy is helpful, but it's not everything, and we need the 12 steps to keep it on a daily practice. I don't know anybody that's going to sit and talk with a therapist an hour a day. Maybe there are people who do that an hour a day, but this, I think, is more helpful in a different way. Like, because I get a chance to help other people. And
a reminder.
Thank you. And anyway, I'm just glad to be here and glad to have time to share. So I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rob H. Roger, you are up next, followed by Donna L. Please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Roger, compulsive overeater from Los Angeles.
And what's the first initial? What's the first initial of your last name, Roger?
V.
Oh, thank you.
I love this paragraph. It won't burn me this time. These are the ways how that. I remember in my first year, I was at work hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I was sitting in a back office. It was cold. I had had some words with my wife earlier in the evening. And I remember I had hidden some dates and figs for both of my daughters. And I thought, I can have that for dessert. And it scared me so much that I immediately called my sponsor and told him what was going on. And I remember I brought it up to Herb Kay, and he said, I didn't have it. And he said, my spiritual shield was up, and that's why the thought didn't have to be acted upon, and I didn't have to do it. And I had totally forgotten it about it, and about a couple months ago, I went to throw them away, and they were probably 2 years old, and they were all dried up and just like sugar that had become like fossilized or something. And I was able to laugh about it, but at the time it was not funny. It was so scary to me. If I had been a heroin addict, it would have been heroin. If I was a cocaine addict, it was cocaine. I mean, that food was going to take me out of the game that night. And that strange mental twist, you know, I can do it this time. I've got enough recovery. Or, you know, that mental obsession, that mental ping pong that as a compulsive overeater I can play with myself and justify it is just pure insanity. And, you know, this paragraph, I just love this paragraph. This is the first time I've shared at this meeting or even been on this meeting. A fellow gave me this number a few days ago, and I'm grateful to be here and so thankful for all the other shares because they're so poignant and so relevant for me. I ate and still do eat every day, so I need to recover every day. I have to pick up these tools every day. I have to reach out to my fellows. I have to be sponsored and sponsor and do what I know to, you know, for my recovery. So I'm filled with gratitude today to know that I'm the problem and to know what the solution is. And for me, I'm recovering I woke up 5 minutes before this meeting. I'm on California time, and I immediately knew, get on the call. So thank you for paying a 12-step call on me. I'm Roger V from downtown Los Angeles.
Thank you so much for joining us and for your powerful share, Roger V. Okay, Donna L., you're up next, followed by Michael. Please go ahead, Donna. Star one to unmute. I think I heard a Donna L. in the lineup.
I thought I was.
There she is. Can you let us know where you're calling from, please? Thank you.
Yes, I'm calling from Clearwater, Florida. And when I first read this, the previous paragraph of how he put the whiskey in his milk, to me it didn't sound that off. I thought, yeah, that makes sense. You know, dilute it, and you know your stomach can probably handle it. Because I do insane things like that myself. I can be enjoying a healthy meal; it's delicious, and I realize before I'm finished that I'm really full. But do I throw it away? Do I pack up that little tiny bit and put it in the fridge? No, I eat it, and here's the insanity of my disease. When I eat it, I feel physically uncomfortable. And where do I go for comfort? I go to food. So I eat more to help me feel better. So that's my insanity. And that brings me to the next paragraph, on the road to the asylum. But since I've been recovered, I don't do that as much. Especially if every day I'm working the steps, especially 10, 11, and 12. And that keeps me from doing those insane things and sabotaging my recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Donna L. Michael, you're up next. Please give us your last name and where you're calling from. And after Michael, I think we'll have time for one more share. Please go ahead, Michael. Star one to unmute. I think I heard a Michael on the line.
Can you hear me? My name is Michael M.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. Go ahead.
I couldn't get in for some reason. I am from Rockaway Beach, New York, and I'm a long timer. And I, about 3 years ago, I mean, I read the book every day with vision, and it's like, oh my God, I never read so much. And bottom line is, I was in the very beginning, and food is my first addiction. And many years ago in our program in OA, we used to have AA speakers come in on the weekend. What I know for sure is I identify so much. And since I've been coming to Vision for 3 years, but I don't share that much. But I will tell you, I am on maintenance, and it's been several years before I got to maintenance. I am learning. My mind is open, and I am recovered today. And Bill Wilson says recovered. And anyway, I am so very grateful. I thank everybody, and I still get stomach shakes when I speak. So again, I'm from Rockaway Beach, New York. I don't give my number now, correct?
Yes, we'll do that afterwards, Michael. Okay.
And thank you. I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad you're here. Okay, so we have time for, I think, one more share.
Larry G.
Okay, I heard Larry G. And I also heard Michelle R. If you'd like to keep it to 2 minutes each, we would have time for both of you. So please go ahead, Larry G.
My name's Larry G, and I'm from California, and I'll keep this very short. I relate most to Jim in the big book. I thought like Jim. I behaved like Jim. I was a chronic relapser. And my birthday today, and the reason why I'm sharing is not my, it's my belly button birthday. The reason I'm sharing is because I'm calling a very small circle of friends that mean the most to me, and you Vision people out there mean the most to me. Last February at this time, I wanted to die. I did not want to live. I did not want to live another day. I couldn't see myself living another day. I couldn't put the donuts down. That was one of the things I couldn't put down. I knew I was a goner, and I had no way to stop. And today, I want to live. Today, I am full of life. Today, I am embracing life. I can't wait to get up in the morning and be on this call with you. And so I was like Jim. And those of you out there who relate to Jim, who are like Jim, who want to be recovered, get off the sidelines like I did. Surrender to this program. Do everything that's asked from you, plus more, and you will be recovered too. I love you all. Have a great day. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. Happy birthday. Glad you're with us. Okay, Michelle, you'll be the last share for today.
Thank you so much. This is Michelle R. in Ohio, and I cannot tell you people how much I need you and I'm grateful for you. I am on the tail end of a binge. I've been doing well for almost a year. I just got my husband through COVID here at home. It was very, very frightening, but we did it, and I didn't get it, and I got my first vaccine yesterday, but I lost faith, and I'm so upset with myself, and today's the first day I've been back on the podcast, and this podcast was for me. I just can't believe everything everybody said. I feel that way almost every time, but this is real. I went to go get my husband to buy disinfectant for the house. I walked into a store for the first time I've been in a store in months, and I caved. I won't go into any more detail. All I can say is I need you. I appreciate you. I have a great deal of difficulty doing 10 steps because I don't ever want to bother anybody, although I have a fabulous sponsor, and I have been sponsoring as well. Right now, obviously, I'm not, but thank everybody, and please, please stay safe. Take care.
Thank you very much, Michelle. What a lot you've been through. Every 10th step is an opportunity for someone to do service. So thank you, everybody who has shared. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Yes.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, Elaine. My name is Jody E. And what a wonderful meeting. Thank you, everyone. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.